Ladies and gentlemen, we have the management reconnected. Sir, you may go ahead.
Yeah, sorry about the technical glitch in our landline, which probably caused the disconnect. Continuing on, last mile mobility segment is recovering, reaching pre-COVID levels. Hence, we are seeing the traction in both our automotive engines as well as on the penetration of EVs. E-mobility business had the highest ever sales. Powertrain business margins are improving. And in terms of electric mobility, focusing on a new product roadmap, which is designed, developed in India for the Indian consumer, is where our focus is, along with our in-house technology and our supply chains. In accelerating the EV adoption with also the 700+ outlets through both our Ampere-specific exclusive outlets plus the Greaves retail outlets, as well as helping with the Greaves Finance where it makes sense. With the diversification strategy that we had started, H1 23 group revenue was about 135%. One or two other points to note: global supply chain constraints, which we have talked about over the last several quarters, continue to pose stress in the commodity cycle. However, we have seen in recent times that situation has improved. Commodity cycle seems to be softening, and it augurs well. With that, in order to go over the financial numbers, I hand it over to Mr. Dalpat Jain to take you through the financial performance.
Thank you, Nagesh. Good morning, everyone. So as Nagesh mentioned, in terms of the business, overall, we saw good recovery post-COVID, and that reflects in the financial performance of the Q2, where all at the group level, the revenues were 699 crores, which is a growth of 87% compared to same quarter of previous year. And it was 13% growth in Greaves electric mobility if we see from Q1. And if you look at consolidated level, it was 6% higher compared to Q1 of FY23. Overall, the profitability has improved in the engines or the powertrain business. We have seen margins improving with the reduction in the raw material cost. And now as the revenues and the volumes are recovering, the impact of fixed cost reduction initiatives that company had taken were visible. And standalone EBITDA margins of the company in Q2 were at 8.9%. If you look at the H1 revenues, group reported total revenue of 1,359 crores. And if we compare it with the highest ever revenue of pre-COVID period, it was almost 135%. From balance sheet perspective, company had a strong cash position. Our net cash position remained at 1,268 crores as of 30th September 2022. Overall, in the electric mobility, where we have seen close to 256% growth compared to the same period last year, and the total number of units were around 33,000. But there are some developments over there at the industry level. The new battery guidelines are specifying some of the developments which are required in the product. Team is geared to meet the required standards as per the given deadline. But in the transition phase, we may see some disruption in the revenues at the industry level. But in the mid to long term, that will get again recovered, because that will be an impact on the primary revenue in short term. If you look at our B2C business, in the quarter two, there was a 65% contribution of B2C businesses in the consolidated revenue. And the new businesses, the ones which are started as part of diversification strategy for the company, have now started contributing 59% of the consolidated revenues. With that, I will hand over the mic back to the operator, and we'll open the floor for the question answers.
Thank you, sir. We will now begin the question answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. An operator will take your name and announce your turn in the question queue. Participants are requested to use only handsets while asking a question. In the interest of time and fairness to all participants, each participant will be allowed one question and a supplementary question if needed. If participants still have more questions, they can join the queue afresh. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We have the first question on the line of Ashin Modi from Equirus. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity and congratulations to the management for a good set of results. So my question is regarding the margins in the subsidiary. So if you see, we have seen a quarter-on-quarter decline of 35 basis points in subsidiary margins, despite the saying that raw material costs are softening. So is it because of model mix or... I mean, if you could comment on margins in the
business. Yeah, thanks, Mr. Modi. So overall, if you look at our subsidiary businesses between electric mobility, grid finance, and GTL, you are right, there is a small drop in the EBITDA margin, which is more linked with the sales and marketing expenses increase in electric mobility. Like we had spoken in the previous quarters, company is going to invest more on the brand building initiatives and also sales promotion and marketing. And that's where the other expenses have gone up and the EBITDA margins have marginally dropped compared to Q1.
Okay. So our e-3-wheeler and e-2-wheeler have almost similar margins? Because I see that e-3-wheeler has grown higher quarter on quarter.
That's correct. EBITDA margins are higher in e-2-wheeler at current stage. But if you see from a long-term perspective, e-3-wheelers, once they build up the required volume, the long-term margin should be better in e-3-wheelers.
Okay. I think one last question would be regarding this. You're saying that this battery norms would have an impact on revenue and margins. So could you please tell us more about it? I mean, what impact would it have on demand and what impact would it have on our margins?
So while we will, Sanjay would tell more in detail about the overall guidelines, in short term, because of some specific requirements, there are few changes which are being done in the product design. And to that extent, while the new product gets launched, because this is a transition period, and after 1st of December, the products meeting with the guidelines have to be sold. So in the temporary period at the primary revenue level, there is going to be impact. It's not going to be the impact at secondary level, but at the primary level, we are going to be moderating our production cycle to ensure that products which are going to the market are as per the required guidelines and in compliance with them. In terms, so that's where on the revenue impact. Nagesh,
also add, keep in mind when we started, we said the industry size was somewhere in the range of 600 to 700,000 units, right, this year. That's what we were predicting. And this was, of course, up from 250,000 the previous year. When you look at the last month of October, industry trended, obviously aided by festivities or festival sales, to almost 72,000 units, which is roughly 850,000 units. So what we are saying is the overall trajectory of electric mobility and the inflection point, I think, is on track. In fact, if anything else, while we are not counting 1 month of festivities, because we do believe in December you'll see a typical automotive slowdown, right? All we are saying is in the short term, as the phase-in and phase-out happens with the battery, by the way, battery standards phase-in, phase-two is a very good sign. It shows a sign of a maturing industry, and it also helps organized players. So, right? But short term, there are requirements of when do you manufacture and when do you sell, right? So that's what Dalpat was talking about, wherein in terms of regulating the production, it won't have any impact on the secondary, as you're already seeing probably in the Vahan database. As of this morning, I think they're up to 14.8% when you look at our retail Vahan sales, up 29% from last month, right? So in terms of the primary sales and the production, obviously we will have to manage that. in the phasing in of the first phase, which is December 1st, and the second phase, which is April 1st. Yeah. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks a lot. I'll join back with you for further questions.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of A. Pirani from JP Morgan. Please go ahead.
Yes. Hi. Thanks for the opportunity, and also thank you for separately talking about the battery safety norms. It's actually something which I think everybody is interested in. So my first question is on that only. So it seems that at least looking at Vahan data, that it hasn't impacted you. These changes and news flow hasn't impacted you, and also at least for now, thankfully, you are not one of the names which has been talked about in terms of the FAME subsidy also. I'm sure that is something to do with, how, your product is engineered. So from a regulation point of view, can you, spend some more time in helping us understand where do you stand on the FAME II subsidy thing? Because some of your competitors have been named, in terms of not meeting the norms. Also, when you talk about, meeting these battery norms, can you say what exactly you are doing? Are you changing some vendors? Was there some battery imports from, battery pack imports from China, which is now going to be done locally? So exactly what are you doing to meet these norms? If you can get some more clarity, that would be really helpful.
Yeah, thanks, Amin. While broadly we spoke about in terms of what is happening at the battery guidelines level and what is happening in terms of the overall subsidy, I would request Sanjay to give specific details in terms of what e-mobility business is doing. Sanjay?
The line for Mr. Sanjay has got disconnected. We attempt to reconnecting him back.
Sure. So while Sanjay is joining, Amin, in terms of grid electric mobility, we have been in compliance with the required guidelines. And as we had spoken and talked about and disclosed
We have Mr. Sanjay also connected now.
Yeah, I'm connected now. So I heard the question, Talpat. You handed over to me. I think we have disconnected. But let me give you clarity on battery standards first, and then I'll come to the subsidy question that you had. First, in battery standards, the first phase one cutoff is on 1st of December. And as a company, we are fully geared up, as was also mentioned by Talpat and Nagesh earlier, to meet the guidelines both in phase one and in phase two. Phase two cutoff is on 31st of March. There are specifically three asks from phase one, and all of them we are compliant and we've been certified now. And we should be starting our production soon. But as you heard, there will be some transition loss from earlier inventory to the new inventory. The secondary will not get impacted. Coming to the second one, and I think just one added point that Nagesh did mention that I would like to reinforce. I think as a company, we welcome these upgradation of standards for battery safety because it really helps the serious invested players who are organized and who have capability not just to design but actually assemble and then certify their products as per the staunchest standards that electric mobility has seen anywhere in the world, not just in India. So we are very, very encouraged by these standards, and we are fully working to make sure that our vehicles are 100% compliant with that, and that's where we are. On the FAME subsidy part, there is an industry, I think, verification which was on. There is a standard that government has on at least 50% of DVA or localization, which needs to be done in indigenization of supply chain. As a company, we have been always been compliant right from the start of FAME subsidy till date. And there have been multiple audits, both by our certification agencies and independent auditors, which have been asked from time to time. The last one being on 29th of August, where the government authorized certified agency, ARI, had visited our plant and given us a green check in terms of our localization content. Currently, we are in the process of answering a few queries that have come from certification agencies and to which we have responded. And we're waiting for the industry gate to open for the FAME subsidy release of money. And as and when it happens, we expect our subsidies also to get regularized there. If there are any specific questions, then I will be happy to answer.
That's quite helpful. So just on the release of the FAME money, so right now, as in like when you're selling the vehicles, what is happening? I mean, the FAME money is not being released, so you are bearing the working capital, your dealers are bearing it. How is it working right now?
If you look at the overall subsidy process, as you sell the vehicle, after that, there's a 90 to 120 days of cycle, right? The dealer has to submit the documents and the manufacturer has to approve that, and then government releases it. So that cycle has been working regularly till last quarter end. Now, as Sanjay mentioned, there are a few details which agencies are taking, and then the cycle should again restart. So that's where it is. In the meantime, the subsidy is recoverable and received by the company. So it's the company which basically has that working capital cycle and not the distribution party.
Understood. And just one last question, if I may. Not in the short term, but slightly in the medium term, as the industry and you moves to these new battery safety norms, what does it mean for cost structures? Because I'm guessing that, you know, to make these changes, you will be making some changes in your vendors, or your vendors will be investing some money to, you know, live up to these changes. So is there a change in the cost structure for the industry that you envisage beyond, say, March into next year, or how should we think about it?
At a very high level, there will be, obviously, because some of the regulatory changes globally, anywhere, anytime in automotive industry, any regulation comes in, right? It has added cost. Obviously, as you can see, we respect profitability. We have been watching that very closely. So we will obviously look at everything from looking at the cost side, how we can bring in more efficiencies, looking at the, obviously, the pricing side. As you've seen, our ASP has gone up over the year, right? So I think we'll look at both from a pricing standpoint as well as on the cost, and we will continue to monitor that. But yes, short term, I do expect some cost to increase. But again, like we reinforced, I think it's a welcome decision, and we are fully geared to go forward.
Great, great. Thanks a lot for these clarifications. I'll come back.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have the next question on the line of Pramod A. from Incredible Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. This is a follow-up on the same regulatory question. What is the extent of cost hike you are looking forward for you and the industry?
So I don't want to get into that right now unless the CFO has specific numbers right now to share. But keep in mind, there is a phase one and a phase two. Phase one, like I said, comes on December 1st. Phase two comes on April 1st, right? We are working with our supplier partners to get especially some of the phase two going, right? So the total cost, but like I said before, rest assured, we have a very aggressive cost out program, right? And we will continue to be in that operating efficiency that we've always had, because we've started from a lower cost platforms, right? We didn't come from a very high cost platform, right? And we will obviously also look at pricing over a period of time. So we will just manage it. We'll see how the industry reacts. Hence, I'm not wanting to get into that in detail, but we are studying all of that as we speak. But enough to say that the focus of both market share growth and profitability continues here at Dave's Electric Mobility.
And just wanted to get your view, because when the regulatory changes happen, happening in just a short period of 4 months, does it make any sense? Because when we are seen in ICE vehicles, it usually takes, even when people are given 3 years period, people are creeping about. So here, considering that you talked about retail to be changed, if I heard you right, the retailing of the new product has to start from 1st December and 1st April. So hence, just a window of 4 months to make those changes. Does it make any sense for the OEMs to do phase one and phase two, or some may take a call to just do a phase two and get rid of it in one go?
So I think I'll do the high level and maybe Sanjay can add. Like I said, it's a step in the right direction. And if that instills more confidence in the consumer and brings in more maturity to the industry, I think we're all for it, right? So we are going about it in terms of bringing in the phase one by December 1st and then getting into phase two, right? Sanjay, do you want to add anything to that?
No, I think it's a fair question, and the only thing I would like to add is that the reason why it has been split into two phases, as per our understanding, is also the industry one readiness time that is required to move from very base level upgrades to extremely high level upgrades. I think there is an elapsed time of about normally 4 to 6 months that is required. So why let go of immediate what is possible by the industry, and the certification ability of the industry is also very critical, because you've seen the number of models that are getting launched every month. Every single component and vehicle needs to be certified. So I think I understand and I believe that it's a very informed and a very well-calibrated decision to go and take it to two phases. One, to start with the base level standards that are coming in terms of next level of safety requirements from battery, and then really advanced level of technology that is required to possibly make our batteries the best in the across anywhere in the planet in terms of both design, integration, and validation, yeah, which is the next phase. So I think that's the reason why it's been split up into two, and as Nagesh said, it's a very welcome move, and I think it will really help us as a company to take the next level, and not many, because the number of unorganized players is so large in India. I think it will separate a lot of non-serious and very, very basic level of assemblers, and it will guarantee a customer safety to a completely next level. So that's how it is. That's why the two phases.
Sure, thanks. And related to the FAME subsidy, wanted to get, do you feel the industry practices will change considering that now for the first time we have seen brakes being applied with the release of the subsidy, and hence players like you or the others may like to get the cash in hand and then only give to the customer, one, or some players who are cash rich like you would like to take that working capital call and differentiate yourself in the marketplace to put it upfront on the table to the customer. So do you see that happening over the next 12 months or so, the smaller guys struggling to get those FAME subsidies, and you guys can take that call?
I can start with this. Keep in mind, we have brought in the discipline of we do cash and carry with our dealers. So we collect the money up front, if you recall, from our dealership, right? Plus, like you rightly said, I think one of the reasons we raise money to make sure that as the consolidation of the industry happens, right, and as the technology and the product improvements happen, we are geared up. So I think it definitely augurs well.
Yeah, exactly. So Pramod, like you rightly mentioned, there will be some churn with the kind of impact and with the regulatory changes on the guidelines, with the working capital and the funding requirement. And you will see with the time industry maturing and some of the players who are well gear with the technology and the funding stuff they will gain in the market situation.
Sure. Thanks.
And just to the last point, I think you said, will the standard change for an operating company like us? I think if you would have noticed Greece, right before the FAME subsidy, our journey to localization of our supply chain had started. In fact, we had taken a hit last year and dipped our market share down to as much as 5%, from which we have now come closer to 15%, to actually get on to this whole percentage of indigenization and localization of our suppliers. So standards will remain the same, only get more strengthened as we go along. So we've always been 100% compliant on the standards as being directed by the FAME. So that will remain the same. Of course, the business models will evolve as the market grows and consolidates. That we'll have to evaluate.
Sure. Thanks, Anand.
Thank you. Participants are requested to kindly restrict your questions to two per participant. Participants are requested to kindly restrict your questions to two per participant. We have the next question on the line of Chirag Shah from Nuvama. Please go ahead.
Yes, thanks for the opportunity. Sir, I have first question on follow-up on this battery norm changes. At industry level, what are the changes that are to be done? Because according to me, the time frame that has been given is not that significant, that it required a big technological change. One, so if you can elaborate on what exactly it is, and any loss of efficiency or performance or kilometer range or anything that because of which that there could be impact over there. Because they have also asked for a sale of gaps between sales. The sale, sale placement has also been spoken about as one of the requirements. The battery pack.
Yeah. So can I answer that, Sanjay? Sure. Hello.
Yes, Sanjay, please.
Yeah, okay. So in the phase one, the requirement is really to move towards from a normal battery management system to smart management, battery management system. That's smart BMS, that's the first. The second is can enable charger so that there can be a data propagation between a charger and a battery. So if the battery is, let's say, reaching a certain temperature, it sends an auto signal for the charger to switch it off and so on and so forth. So I think these are some very, very base level changes, as you rightly picked up, our requirement in the phase one. In phase two, the specific technical changes that have been asked is one, is to go for what is called IP67 battery, which is really to limit the water ingress inside the battery. So there won't be any water seepage inside the battery in a humid or in a rainy or a monsoon condition, which of course, as you know, water can be, is a carrier of a current, and it could lead to some level of thermal incidents there. To avoid that, that's one requirement which is coming. The other requirement is the thermal propagation between the cells, because as you know, there are many cells packed in the battery. So how does the current really flow from one cell to another? And are there any sensors that have been put in case one particular cell is overheated? Then there could be sensors that probably, it says 5 minutes before the actual switch off, but industry is looking at what is the right level of the, so there are some gas sensors, temperature sensors, which have been asked to be put into the battery. So this is the technical phase one and phase two limited kind of a changes which are coming. Are we prepared? Is the industry geared up? And as I think Nagesh said, technology system is maturing very rapidly in electric mobility in India, and I think it augurs really well. Our work with our suppliers and vendors gives us a lot of confidence that Indian industry and the ecosystem, Indian supplier ecosystem is fully geared up. And I think we, and as part of the industry, and we believe the whole industry will be able to meet up with both these challenges as we go forward.
Yeah. So second question was on...
Sorry to interrupt, Mr. Chiraksha. Request you to kindly come back in queue, because we have the participants also in the line.
Okay.
We have the next question from the line of Jyoti Singh from Arihant Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. So my question is on the dealership side. As earlier we were expecting that we will reach 300 by end of September and 500 by FY23. So are we following that, and we are on track?
Yes, we are on track, ma'am. We have crossed 300 dealers in last quarter. It's like we're closer to 350. And we are on track in reaching our 500 number.
Okay. And sir, another on the localization side, how much percentage we are doing localization currently?
The current norm is 50%. We are well above 50%. We are closer to 60% of localized content.
Okay. And sir, if you can comment on the ampere sales side, like how much we are expecting for the FY23?
So going back to your dealership question, as you know, we also, in addition to the ampere exclusive showrooms that Sanjay talked about, we also have the Greaves retail showroom that we sell both ampere and other EVs, right? So technically our outlets raise greater than 700 in the country. So our growth, in fact, we've added more than 40 plus Greaves retail stores in the country year to date, right? Point number one. Point number two, in terms of future sales or FY, this fiscal year sales, I think was the second question. As you know, we normally don't give forward guidance, but here is the some of the data points that I'll share. If you look at the entire last year, we did 62,000 units. In H1, we did 62,000 units plus. So technically, H1 has been greater than the entire last year. Granted, last year we had COVID impact in the Q1. And clearly short term, we may have a little bit of bumps along the road in terms of primary, like the CFO and Sanjay were talking about, right? So while we won't put down a number, last quarter was 28,000, this quarter was 33,000, right? So I think you can see the trend line. Our market share as of today morning is about 14.8-15% in Vahan database. So I think you have all the data in front of you, ma'am. which probably shows you kind of where it is, and we are 29% month-on-month improvement versus last month, which is a record month.
Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have the next question on the line of Gunjan Prithyani from Bank of America. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking my questions. I'm not going to harp too much on the regulation thing because it's still evolving, but I'm just trying to get a broader picture on the industry. Now, when I look at these norms, clearly in your messaging, you do mention it may get challenging for some of the organized guys to meet. And come F24 end, you possibly see the FAME II sort of going away as well. I don't know what the update on that is, but assuming it goes away, you know, how should the entire industry, sort of pans out? Do you see there is, what does it mean from a competitive landscape perspective? And secondly, your midterm margin also, which you seem to be emphasizing that, you know, profitability, you know, we'll focus on profitability. But once the FAME II goes away, how are we thinking about, the margins from a 3 to 4 year perspective? So that will be the first question.
I'll take that question. So, fair question. If you see our projections over the last couple of quarters, right? Even at the beginning of the year, we said we should end up somewhere between 600 and 700,000 units. Last year was the industry size of electric two-wheelers was about 250,000 units, right? So when you look at last month, aided by festivities, the projection is looking more like 850 or close to 900,000, right? So A, short term, we're still projecting that 700,000 plus because 1 month doesn't make a trend. However, typically automotive cycles do go down in December. That's because of the year-end change, etc., right? But when you look at the trend, 250,000, and even if it becomes 700,000, that's almost a 3x growth this year. And from there, a 2x plus growth next year is not ruled out based on the trajectory. So the trajectory and the industry from where we play is strong. Second point I would like to leave it with this audience is, we are probably one of the few players who got into this early. We have understood the customers. We are both in two-wheeler and three-wheeler, B2B and B2C. Domestic today, but obviously international is an option down the line, right? So it opens up a couple of other markets, point number two. Point number three, coming to subsidy, you're right, that's a decision beyond all of us. We worry about the things we control. So what are we doing in terms of our continued focus on cost control, our continued focus on frugality, making sure that the product redesign is adequate, meeting the product design, what the customer wants and needs, right? But yet bringing in innovation, right? Focusing in on Indian-made, Indian-styled products which innovate but at the right cost and the feature set at the right cost is kind of what we're going to focus. So on the cost side, I think we will continue our focus as and when and if a subsidy goes away, we will be ready to bring in more efficiencies. Because keep in mind, the scale efficiencies will grow. With scale efficiency in an automotive, we get efficiencies significant. Secondly, on the pricing side, we're not afraid to take pricing increases. It has been demonstrated. Our average selling price has gone from 40,000 to 95,000 plus. So we will continue to keep pricing action. So we will look at it both on the pricing side, working on the innovation of the product, as well as on the cost side. That's how I would answer that today. And as and when, and if subsidy goes away, I think we will be ready by a variety of actions.
Sure. Just a follow-up, Nagesh, on the PLI kicking in. Do you see that as a competitive advantage for the ones who have qualified? How would you then approach the industry given we are not part of that list? And also on this ASP point, if you can share how the low-speed and high-speed mixes change, because my understanding is this 45 to 90, a large part of that is attributable to the mix changing. So if you can share what is the underlying price growth we've been able to achieve, X, the mix, that if you have any insights into that.
Yeah, so let me take it one at a time. I think the first part is, one was a mix. and then the first part of the question was the PLI. So let me take the PLI. I think it's a fair question. Keep in mind, we are one of the few players who are very clear, and we do that even in our traditional engines business. While we have the capability to do design and manufacture every component on the engine side, we use a combination of make and buy, right? And from day one, we've been very clear that we will use the right combination of make and buy. So same thing in the electric mobility, while we would want to control the design and the innovations on certain factors, right? Like a motors or a software controller, etc. The manufacture could be done by somebody else, or the manufacture could even come inside if the scale efficiencies and the commercial benefits are there. So we will work with like-minded partners in the supply chain, have access to PLI. So the way I look at this issue is, yes, while we may not have directly gotten PLI because of how it was structured, but we will work with partners who have access to this, and the competitive advantage can be retained over a period of time. That's how I look at it. The second part in terms of mix, yes, you're right. The first, the 40, some of that movement happened because we moved to the what we call the high speed. But keep in mind, though, we will continue to keep moving with our five new products coming in, and especially the products on the two-wheeler side, both in terms of product performance, which includes the speed, the powertrain, or the feature performance, as well as on the pricing parameters. While we have not determined the pricing, I think we will have products that will scan. We have been very, very careful as to where is the heart of the market and where we want to compete. And over the next couple of months, you're going to see us have some pricing strategies that will probably reflect. So I think we will have that as and when the product rolls out.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have the next question on the line of Ronak Sarda from Systematix Group. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity. Sir, a couple of questions. One, a clarification. Did you say that the norms which are coming in from December 1st and March 31st are applicable more from a retail sales point or more from a manufacturing point? So could you sell the older generation products post December 1st?
Well, there is an ambiguity out there, but we are considering that as a manufacturing point. And basically on the, and that's how we are preparing the overall thing. So basically from 1st December, the products which are getting sold in the market, it will be compliant with the required guidelines. But right now it's ambiguous, it's not clear.
But we are preparing more from a retail sales point, so we will be curtailing our manufacturing to adjust dealer inventory and everything this month, etc.
That's correct.
That's right. Yeah. And the second part of the question was more from a balance sheet standpoint. I mean, if I look at the, despite, you know, very high working capital, our September end net cash is upward, is nearly 1300 crores. And we do have, you know, an option to further take $70 million from a strategic partner. So how does that work out? I mean, is there a thought process to strengthen the balance sheet further, or when do we take that decision?
So, Ronak, if you look at the overall, the way business is performing, and like we mentioned, the operating cash flow continues to be positive for the businesses, including at profitability in grid electric mobility. Right. So we will continue to evaluate it based on the overall business plan. Right now, balance sheet is having adequate liquidity to meet the requirements for the future expansion. And we should evaluate it as the time comes, the right time.
Sure. And the final question on the slow speed portfolio. I mean, would it be still viable to sell those slow speed products post the phase two norms, or does it become more of a, more of a push side from Ampere Grief? How does the dynamics change on the slow speed portfolio?
Yeah, Sanjay, if you can take this.
Yeah, so Ronak, overall slow speed is currently trending at about 5 to 7% of the overall sales. And with the norms coming, we feel that slow speed from about a third of the market protocol about 2 years back or 1.5 years back, coming down to under 10%. And with the same subsidy, its viability is definitely under challenge at this point of time. So then we'll have to really see as to how the market evolves. But FAME is not going to be an infinite kind of a subsidy kind of pot for the industry. And we are very well aware that we have to do adequately both in terms of our pricing and in terms of our costing standards to remain competitive as the FAME subsidy subsides. Whether slow speed has relevance in India, yes, the segment has relevance in India. For last mile micro-mobility, intra-city, small distance travel, we believe slow speed has viability. So we would like to keep the light bulbs on, continue to keep watching the segment very, very closely, and then see as to whether we need to invest into growing the segment, and if it happens, as the pain really subsides. So we'll have to see that going forward.
Sure. Thanks, Ajay. Just to follow up here, there are two parts to it, right? One is what you're trying to say, let's say a year down the line when the FAME subsidy goes away, there might be a necessity to take 30 to 40,000 rupee price increase on high-speed portfolio. And at that point of time, slow speed becomes viable. My question was more from the technology side. Do these two battery norms, with those two battery norms, is it easy to make those technology changes in the slow speed portfolio itself, or the viability is, I mean, I'm asking is if the viability is more from the technical side.
So we will have to really check out, because at this point of time, since it doesn't have a FAME certification requirement, the development for these batteries is not really, because all the battery standards are really being done to really upgrade to the FAME certification standards at this point of time. So Ronak, I'll have to come back to you on this offline after validating with the technical team. Is that okay?
Okay, got your point.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay, will you.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Ranodeep Sen from MAS Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity and congratulations on a great set of number. This is with reference to the B2C share increasing rapidly and now standing at 65%. This is with respect to the branding of Ampere. Are we looking at having a brand ambassador in the near future with respect to connecting to the masses? Any thoughts over there?
Yeah, I'll take this. First of all, thank you for recognizing that. I think it goes back to a fundamental strategy 4 years ago, right? We said we will move from a B2B to a B2B plus B2C, right? And we wanted to be closer to the consumer. So in that sense, whatever it takes us getting closer to the consumer, more dealership points, more products that are relevant, we'll continue to do that. Brand ambassador and or not, or how we execute the marketing plan, stay tuned. Because as we get into the Auto Expo, our electric mobility team, led by Sanjay, are working on a marketing campaign. So I would not like to get into that at this point of time, but stay tuned on that. Yeah, because it's still working.
All right. My next question was, I think 33,000 units this quarter, and if I just extrapolate that, let's say around 1.2 lakhs in this year, given the Ranipet plant's capacities at million units, obviously that's in the future, but how would you like to share like the growth trajectory of Ampere from here on in terms of units? Any projections?
Again, we don't give forward guidance, but I will insist on going to the past. In December of 2020, we sold 2,000 plus units. January of 22 or the December of 21, I believe, we sold almost close to 10,000 units, right? So, the trajectory will continue. I mean, you've seen month on month, the numbers are now very visible. The manufacturing capacity is already geared up for 250,000 units, 20 plus thousand a month in one shift. And if needed, we can go up to two shifts, and obviously we can double that capacity. So I think when it comes to the fundamental things that we control, which is manufacturing capacity, the talent, the product, some of that we are investing. As and when the market really takes off and the demand is there, I think you're going to see us get to that point of time. Today, and we are doing all the things in our control to kind of be ready for that inflection point.
All right. And if I can just squeeze in one last question. One of the key elements of getting Abdul Latif Jameel on board was to leverage their, the supply chain or the global export capability that they had. I think they had done it with Toyota also. So any traction over there in the exports, like any plan that we have on board already?
Yeah, so we are working on an export plan, which is not ready to be discussed right now. But as and when it's ready, and the product and the country roadmap is ready, we'll be talking about that. But yes, that is definitely in the pipes.
All right. Thank you so much, and wishing you all the best for the upcoming quarters. Thank you.
Thank you. We have the next question on the line of Pankaj from Affluent Assets. Please go ahead.
Thanks for taking my question. So you have guided about the numbers, or you have given a trajectory of how the numbers have evolved over a period of time. So and over last two quarters, we have seen the EBIT margins improving. So just wanted to understand next year, if and when the numbers double from this level, where do you see the margins for EV division going?
So, Pankaj, if you look at the overall electric mobility, there are going to be different factors playing in next couple of quarters, the four quarters. But if I see it from the long-term perspective, which can be, let's say, 8 to 12 quarters down the line, the margin should stabilize in line with the overall ICE vehicle industry, because the operating leverage is going to play its own benefit at the margin level. The gross profits, as you look at the last quarters and the last couple of quarters, are already inching towards now 22 to 24%. With the fixed overhead remaining more or less at the similar levels, with the volumes, that's the benefit which is going to flow down to EBITDA level.
Sure. And second thing, you currently have ample cash. So just wanted to understand, what are your plans regarding that? Any takeover or any investment regarding EVs?
So PV, I think when you look at, we said we will invest in products. We have announced 5 new products. We said we will invest in people and manufacturing capacity, and we already talked about it. We said we will invest in technology, and we continue to do that, especially as the combined group, Greaves Cotton and Electric Mobility, will look at adjacencies in terms of non-powertrain applications, where we're going to get into, right? Last but not the least, yes, M&A is definitely also is on the cards. And as and when we are ready with any major announcements, we will come back and talk to you. So it's all of the above.
Thank you. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. We have the next question on the line of Sonal Minhas from Prescient. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Am I audible?
Yes, please go.
Sir, I had a first bookkeeping question. So just wanted to understand, let's say if you're selling 10 electric vehicles, what part of that are we financing through our own books in percentage terms? If you could just help understand that.
So, Sonal, we don't have any financing of electric vehicles from the Greaves Electric Mobility, right? We have tied up with various financiers. And the industry now, the penetration of financing is close to around 30 to 35%. So overall, from a financing point of view, with various financing partners, is anywhere between 30 to 35%. Within the group, we have another company which is into financing, and but that's a fledgling one with a very small AUM. So in terms of the overall financing to the Ampere vehicles, the share is small. But at the overall industry level and Ampere level, the financing penetration is anywhere between 30 to 45%.
Understand that, sir. And the second question, sir, just wanted to understand, I was looking at the Vahan dashboard for November. I've seen a dip in the sale of companies like Okinawa and Hero Electric, and you seem to be holding well. Is this somewhat, like, just trying to understand more from a market perspective, is this linked to the battery regulation norms which you were talking about earlier in the call, If you could just like, if there is anything to be read at all there, just want to understand.
So I would not like to comment on the competition, but however, all you can say is we continue to do what we need to do in terms of executing our strategy. So we'll continue to do that.
Sure, sir. That's about it from my side. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have the next question on the line of Jiten Parmar from Aurum Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah. My question is on, we had received some time back some ARI observations. Are those resolved?
They have been replied to. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. So, but that closure has not come yet, right, on that? Or?
No, closure in terms of there was a certain deadline by which we had to respond, that we have responded to every query, which is from our side, to be done for ARI.
Okay. Now, this we had acquired a 26% stake in MLR Auto. So, what is the status on that? Have we started utilizing this particular investment, in the sense that have we started outsourcing any work to them, or how can you throw some more color on that investment and what happens to that?
I'll take that. So, again, part of the strategy was also the three-wheeler. And as you've seen in the e-rickshaw side, where it impacts lives and livelihoods, without the subsidy being a very strong thing there, I think is seeing good traction, point number one. Now, in terms of MLR, yes, we have acquired that 26%, and we have a roadmap to get to a higher number, and we will execute that from as and when it's appropriate, and we'll announce that, right? We have started building three-wheelers out of that plant. We have started building the dealer network. The dealer network is now greater than 70 from hardly 7 there when we started, right? We are getting products ready, both on terms of the IC engine, but more importantly on the electric mobility side. So, yes, you are going to see a lot more traction. In fact, in the Auto Expo, expect also to see a couple of new products from the three-wheeler stable as well. Yes, so it's an integral part of our strategy going forward.
Great, thank you. Just final question. We have seen a reduction in the cash position, and also if you can tell me whether the retail services are the EBITDA positive, or what is the status on that, please? If you can, if you are allowed to disclose that.
Yeah, so all the views are EBITDA positive. In terms of the cash in the second quarter, basically in Grid standalone, the cash position has increased. In electric mobility, the money has got utilized for part of the capex and part of the increase in the working capital. So that's where the quarter two cash movement has been.
Okay, thank you so much. That's all I have.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have the next question on the line of Sandeep Dixit from RF Partners. Please go ahead.
Hi, just wanted a clarification. I understand from your comments is that we probably see some dip in EBITDA margins over the next couple of months as they transition because of the new battery standards. Do you have any guidance on what would be the stable EBITDA margin we could look at, you know, beyond this initial change of us?
So in terms of EBITDA margin guidance, I think is what you're looking for. Are you looking for the group perspective, or are you looking for electric mobility?
For electric mobility, sir.
Electric mobility, okay. So like we said, there are a lot of moving parts right
That's
now.
True. With the phase one.
Okay. With the phase one, phase two, there are a lot of moving parts. Plus, like I said, there will be new products coming in, which give us a little more pricing power, hopefully over a period of time. And our marketing campaign kicks in. So I'm not going to answer that question directly right now because there are a lot of moving parts. But rest assured, like I said before, it is this is on top of our mind, both from a cost efficiency standpoint as well as from a pricing standpoint, right? How we manage it over the next couple of quarters.
Can I sort of ask a related question? like for like, what would be the increase in the cost for the, because of the new standards, 10%, 20%? What would you like to hazard a educated guess?
Sandeep, right now it's early. Overall, okay, it's not going to be in a way where it's going to impact the margin significantly. That's going to be managed with the right combination of price, product pricing, and also the value engineering ideas on the other side to reduce the overall BOM cost.
Okay, I think my question was slightly different. I was saying, I understand the margins are also a function of your other costs and your pricing.
I got your point.
I just want to know what is the incremental cost that it will enter.
Yeah, so right now it's early. Maybe we will be able to talk about it when we talk in the next quarter.
Okay. If I have a permission to ask one more small question, normally what we see is that any kind of a standardization or regulation tends to consolidate the marketplace, especially at the base of the pyramid. And when that happens, the marginal players get are wiped out, or rather they move out, and branded players tend to take market share. Can we expect something similar once these norms come in?
Yeah, so I think we have mentioned sometime in the earlier question as well. So overall, yeah, at industry level, in the initial period, as there are many new entrants who come in with a different kind of expectation, capability. Now, as the industry matures, players who are having the right capabilities and also the overall funding structure, they will be able to grow and also gain in this kind of market situation. Consolidation would be inevitable in that situation. So we expect that to get played out as the things develop over time, and industry shall mature like the overall as the time passes.
Thank you. Thank you. Those are my questions.
Thanks.
Thank you. That was the last question. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Nagesh Basanwali for closing comments.
Thank you. Thank you, everybody. We appreciate your ongoing interest. We are certain that we will continue to work on our products, our businesses, operational efficiencies, and the distribution. We want to thank all of you for participating and all the questions you've asked. Stay tuned for more. Thank you and have a great day. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. On behalf of Greaves Cotton Limited, we thank you once again. Stay safe. With this, we conclude this investor call. Thank you for joining us.